Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I am Bill Shear, my wife Sandy. Let's welcome everybody at Sky Tickets and Pulpit. The Guts Church is there. How about that, huh? Man, who'd have thought? Great places, great churches, great families that oversee those churches. We got elders there this morning. We're baptizing people. They're taking communion, dedicating babies, doing everything we're doing here. And now I get to preach to them. So I'm fired up. I'll be real honest with you. This word today, and it didn't originate with me. I can't take credit, but it's an amazing word because God's word's amazing. It's life transforming. See, we're not here to conform you. We're not here to try to manipulate you into living a certain way. This isn't a bunch of do's and don'ts. And I know that you grow up thinking that's all it is, okay? I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But that's not what this is. See, what this is, it's actually a life-for-life exchange. God wants to take everything that's crummy and everything that's worldly and everything that it diminishes from your life. He wants to take that. He'll take that from you if you give it to him. And he wants to give you his life. He wants to take any kind of curse and give you blessing. Anything that's suppressing your life, what God wants to do is turn that around and lift your life. And I'm telling you, I'm fired up and I need you to get ready. And a part of you getting ready is maybe, man, just the posture of your heart. You know, there's so much of this. I believe that God's word puts us on the edge of our seats. Man, his promise will cause us to, man, some of you guys believe in God for kids. You know what? This word puts you on the edge of your seat where you're hopeful, where you're ready to take a stand. And once we take a stand, God will back our play. And see, and that's what we have to understand. The question is real simple. Are you living your best life? And most of you, I think, live pretty good lives. And, you know, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, my life's a 10. Well, if it is, man, maybe you ought to take the mic and preach. But I'll tell you, if it's not a 10, I'm telling you, if it could be better, man, that's what God has for you here today. And it's simple. It's just a simple next step is all it is. Man, what's your next step? See, we're a forward thinking, a forward vision church. Man, it's future. It's future based for us. We're not worried about where you've been. We're not worried about what kind of scent of the world that you're bringing in here. No, you know what? Man, it's that God wants to transform you, listen, into the image of his son. See, I believe in a predestination. I don't believe that predestination is cancer or a train wreck or divorce or maybe or losing a loved one. That's not the predestination that God gives us. That's what religion brings into the picture. What the predestination that God offers us is for us to be transformed into the image of his son. And let me tell you, that's a great life right there. I mean, let me tell you, man, Jesus walked on water. Jesus walked through walls. Jesus, nothing was impossible for him. So you know what? The transfer that God gives us is nothing's impossible to us if we only believe. It's putting our trust in him. And are you living your best life? Because today could be a start. Why not? You know, the way God wired us, the way our memories work, is that we don't remember days. We remember moments. I remember my junior in high school, I was playing outside linebacker, and we were losing 7-6 to Owensboro, Missouri. And it was the opening game of the season. Man, the quarterback dropped back to pass, and we're on defense, and we're about at midfield, and we put a bunch of pressure on this quarterback because we're down by a point. Man, everybody's frantic, man. In the last few minutes of the game, the defense plays like their hair's on fire. So I'm looking at this quarterback. I see this running back come out into the flat, and I knew that was a safety valve. That was a play that if he got in trouble, that he could just dump it to that back. And you know what? He sure did. And I jumped that route. And the next thing you know, that ball, I'm watching that ball hit my hands, both of my hands. And as that ball hit my hands, I looked up, and all I see is green grass in front of me. And you know what happened? I took my eye off the ball, and that ball hit the ground. I don't remember another thing about that game, but I remember dropping that pass, and we lose 7-6. My dad is 87 years old, lives in an assisted living. 2 weeks ago, I went to visit him. He brought that play up to me. I'm like, Dad, It's not like I had a Hall of Fame career or anything, but that's what he remembered that year. I'm like, yeah, I don't know that I remember any other play. My junior in high school, I remember that play. See, we don't remember days. You don't remember months. You remember moments. And today, God, I believe God wants to give you a moment. And you know, I think all too often, like, you'll put too much responsibility, or I'll take too much responsibility for creating the moment. But the Holy Spirit is creating a moment in your lives that you can live your best life and you can begin to live it now. Anybody with me on that? Anybody in St. Paul or Scott? How many guys are ready for the best life? Man, you live that best life. We're not going to live that life that we had yesterday. You know all you need? Let me just tell you, man, you want to have a great church, all you need is charismatic leadership. Leadership that somebody wants to follow. And I believe this church is full of that. Man, you got to have a forward-based vision. Man, we're not counting. Yeah, but nobody's getting up at church going, you know, my name's Bill and I'm an addict. You're not going to hear that here. Because we serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were. We serve a God who gives life to the dead. No, you know what? My name's Bill, and I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. My name's Bill. Everything I put my hand to prospers, and no weapon formed against me ever will. Man, you're not going to have to talk me or Pastor Sandy into getting up here and say, man, we're going to talk you into victory. Man, you know what? We've chosen to live that victory. See, and that's the kind of leadership that God wants in your life. It's not people that never go through things, people that never have to deal with things. I have to deal with things in my life every day. Man, yesterday I was at a rugby game at ORU, and we were playing a team from Arkansas. And these guys get on top, and they get ahead of the ORU team that I'm helping with this ORU rugby team. These guys have never played before. And these guys start mouthing off. Our guy's chirping a little bit too, but these guys are mouthing off, and they're experienced, they're seasoned, and they're grown men, and they're playing these college guys. And finally, this guy's a long-haired guy, and he bugged me. I got to be honest, I just didn't like him. I looked at him, I thought, I don't like you. Let me tell you, I hate to burst your bubble that I'm not perfect. I know a lot of you guys are thinking I'm perfect. But guess what? I looked at this guy, and I'm like, I don't like you. And I have that cognitive thought. And you know what? I didn't bring that thought into the captivity of Christ. I let that thought just go. I let it grow in my heart. And every time I look at him, I don't like you. And you know what? I'm a young man. I just turned 60. I can play a half. And then this guy says this. He looks at one of the players on the ORU team, and he looked at him and said, hey, what would Jesus do? And I'm thinking, did he just say that? And then he says, what would effing Jesus do? And I'm like, oh yeah. You just gave me a reason. And I'm sitting on the sideline, this guy's across the field from me, and I'm looking at him thinking, okay, I might have an opportunity here today. A few minutes in the game, and he comes on the sideline, and he's like 15 feet from me. And he says, what would Jesus effing do again? I looked at him, and he happened to look at me. I said, hey, say that again. Just say that one more time. And he's kind of looking at me like this old man on the sideline. What's he doing? I'm like, no, just say it one more time. And then the game kept going, and I'm there, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? I had to reintroduce myself. I'm Pastor Bill. There's people counting on me to be better than this. I went over to this lawn chair, and I just sat down, and I said, God, forgive me. I knew exactly what I was doing. You know, because Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do, did not apply to me there. And then I said, God, forgive me, and I'm going to find somebody to confess. I didn't expect to confess it today. This is kind of real time for me right now. But then I repented. I said, God, forgive me, and I'm not doing that anymore. See, that's the life that God gives us now. Man, the life that it's like, wait a second, I'm going to live that righteous life. But the Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep or guard or protect your heart with all diligence. Man, with everything you've got in you. For out of it flows the issues of life, man. Guard your heart. Man, but there's so many things that we see and so many things that we hear and so many things that we do and so many people around that we just put our guard down. Let me tell you, guard your heart with all diligence, because we can't compartmentalize our lives. You know, I've got one heart, and it's an open heart. So if anything gets in my heart, it's there. I can't say, well, you know, I'm dealing with this in my life. Everything else is great. No, you know what? It muddies everything. A little bit of leaven leavens all lump. A little bit of bitter, man, all the sweet water in your heart gets bitter with just a little bit. And see, we've got to understand that. We've got to recognize that and then guard our heart with all diligence. See, what God wants, and I believe because we let things in our heart that we hold back, that we sit back. Man, God wants you to come, and when his word's being preached, and man, when he's glorified, he wants us on the edge of our seat. Man, God wants us leaning forward on the edge of our seat. Why? Because he wants us to be able to take a stand. It's hard to take it. If we're leaning back in life and we're pushing back from things, it's hard for us to have forward motion and take a stand in our life. And see, we've got to recognize, and what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, he said, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. They're not worldly. They're not like everybody else. But mighty unto God. Everybody say mighty unto God. Man, it's the pulpit sky to accept. Let's everybody tell us to say it again. Mighty unto God. For the pulling down of strongholds. Oh my gosh, if we could see spiritually in this room right now, man, there's dozens, maybe hundreds of strongholds that are holding people back. It's like, wait a second. I don't have to live under the tyranny of this demonic attack or this oppression that's in my life. Man, I can, but what does the Bible say? The weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. Now listen, casting down arguments. Let me tell you, we're not here to argue. Man, Sandy has to remind me often. She's like, Bill, you just want to argue. No, I don't. Wait a minute, I think I'm arguing now about arguing. Any fellas in the room? See, that's in us. But you know what this does? Man, God's word, the weapons God gives us, it casts down argument and every high thing that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. Man, I know God. Is God the healer? Yes. No, for real, is God the healer? Yes. Man, I'm fired up. I'm telling you, get on the edge of your seat. God's the healer. And guess what? It's not what he does. It's who he is. He didn't say, hey, I do your healing. No, he said, I am your healer. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals you. And see, we've got to understand that. We've got to look at that. And we've got to recognize in our life that you might get a diagnosis. And what's that diagnosis? Well, it's cancer. Well, how bad is it, doc? I don't need some doctor giving me prognosis. I don't mind them diagnosing anything, but my prognosis comes from him. God is my healer. No weapon. Is cancer a weapon? Yes. No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. It can't take over my life because my life belongs to Jesus. I've given my life to the healer. I've given my life to my provider. Man, some of you guys in here worrying about money. Stop worrying about money. Man, I'm just telling you, money's the easy part because you know what money is? Money's provision. We don't love money. God gives us provision. Is God your provider? That wasn't a hearty answer. I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be a Christian. See, some of you guys, we're going to have an altar call here in about 20 minutes, and we're going to help you not go to hell. We're going to make it hard for you to go to hell. So act like you don't, that hell isn't in your future. Act like you're a child of the King here. Is God your provider?
Yes.
Man, let's let him be. Man, let's not fight God. Let's not argue with God. Let's not doubt every turn because we see a need pop up in our life. I'm just telling you, man, God meets all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all of your need. You want a good word from God here today? My God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh my gosh, you mean all the need of my life is in my past? Yes, all your need has been given to you. But you know what? All it is provision in your life. And what is provision? Provision follows vision. What's the vision of your life? Is it forward thinking? Is there charismatic leadership in your life? Man, are you vocal about who you are in God? Man, are you somebody that people want to follow? Do you have future-based vision in your life? Is it about the future or is your past holding you back? How many of you guys have to deal with your past? Can I see your hands? How many of you guys have your past? Maybe your past is holding you back a little bit. Can I see your hands? Stop it. I'm not kidding you. I'm not playing. You're better than this. All it is an argument. All it is a vain imagination that's trying to exalt itself above the knowledge of God in your life. Man, you've got to say, no, my past does not dictate who I am, nor my future. I'm a child of the King. I'm born again. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Man, do you understand there's a hope of glory that's on the inside of you? Man, are you listening to this? Man, you're writing it down. I'm writing it down. I'm doing this as fast as I can. Please, don't hit me anymore. Hey, the hope of glory's on the inside of you. You'll say, well, God, I need you to send your glory. Oh, God, that your glory fill this place. We even sing songs about that. Do you understand where that glory is? That glory's in you. People you work with, the people you live with, the kids you're raising, that glory's on the inside of you. Where we bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Oh my gosh, I could have talked myself out of gotten up and preached. I could have tapped out today. Man, if I let the thoughts that the enemy, the fiery darts that the enemy tries to, if I accept them or receive them. Except, you know what? I realize that without him, I can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible to he who believes. Game changer. Every time we turn around, it's a game changer. Get on the edge of your seat. Live life on the edge of your seat. Man, stop holding back. Stop pushing back. Man, let's live our best lives. You with me on that? Yes. Man, let's live our best lives. Because here's the bottom line. The first point today, that the weapons God gives us in this fight that we're in, how many of you guys are battling? Man, life's a fight. But our weapons are supernatural. Taylor, supernatural. Man, the Bible promises no evil. We prayed for these kids. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. Well, you know what? My words have power. Man, my words change the world, change the game. Why? Because all authority has been given in heaven and earth. And Jesus said, therefore go. And see, that's who we have to be. That's what we have to be about. But here's where it starts. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A lot of foolish people following God. A lot of foolish people sitting in churches. Why? Because the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you what the fear of the Lord is. I understand, literally translated, it's an awesome respect. And God has earned that respect. But I'll tell you my working definition of fear of the Lord. Is I'm not going to do what I know I shouldn't do. Because I know that if I do it, just like yesterday, when I looked at that guy and I said, hey, say it again. I knew that was wrong when I was saying that. I didn't have to wait a minute and go, you know, I'm checking my spirit right now. And as I'm checking my spirit, I realized that wasn't the right spirit. That wasn't really love. That was the opposite of love. I wanted to knock his teeth down his throat, love. And I thought he deserved it because I'm standing up for Jesus. And then I remember Peter like trying to stick that dagger in that centurion's forehead, and the guy moved his head and he chopped off his ear. And it's like, I don't think Peter went in thinking, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to eliminate one of those soldiers. I'm going to eliminate one of his ears. No, he had a dagger. He thought this fits in his forehead. He tried to put his forehead. The guy goes like this and lopped an ear off. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the Peter that stands at the window of the upper room and leads 3,000 men to the Lord. I want to be Peter that was sent and led the church all the way up to Paul to where it was opened up to everybody. I want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy that was emotional and had to refrain and had to go, oh my gosh. I don't want to be the Peter that Jesus had to say, hey, get behind me, Satan. Ruh-roh. See, the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, my working definition is I'm not going to do what I know I shouldn't do, even though God will forgive me and I can repent afterwards. That's a simple fear of the Lord. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding that I know God. You know, I'm gonna slide real quick just because our time is short here to the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters of the book of Ephesians is simply Paul writing a letter from his incarceration in Rome to the church at Ephesus. And you know what the first three chapters are, let me tell you, you're a son. You're a daughter. Man, have that identity. Don't have the identity that you're without. Don't have the identity that you're an orphan. You know, I think about these single mamas that were up here dedicating their kids. Did it touch your heart today? Man, the 9:30 service was all single mamas up there. There wasn't a fella up there. And then Sandra reminded me that could have been me. You know, my dad adopted me when I was 18 months. And you know what? All those kids were younger than that. That could have been me. My mom didn't do it. I wasn't dedicated at a church as a baby. But let me just tell you, that could very easily have been me. And you know what? My dad stepped up and took responsibility for me at 18 months old. And you know what? Raised me, man, put me through school, and it was a hero in my life. But you have to understand that we may need to be that for people. Man, we're sons, we're daughters, we're not paupers anymore, we're not beggars anymore, we're not heathen anymore. We're not sinners anymore, we're sons now. Man, we're children of the Most High God, we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. But Paul writes, and in the middle of Ephesians, he prays, and it's almost like it gushes. God, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. And then he gets to the end of it, the theologians will say that this might be the most powerful thing written in God's word. I love Romans as well. Both of them have the same kind of cadence and feel to them. But he writes in the 6th chapter, he says, finally, my brethren, finally, listen. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Number two today is be strong. Number one, your weapons are supernatural. Number two, just be strong. You know, most every letter that I write now, the closing, I just put, stay strong, Sheer. Man, please, as you leave here today, stay strong. Just be strong. Just stay strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Man, the devil, the Bible says the thief comes immediately to steal the seed, like the fowl of the air. He'll come immediately. Man, you walk out these doors, and man, the enemy's going to try to rob you from what God has tried to invest in you today. And you know what? We can't let him. We've got to be able to stand. That's why in these services, it's important for us to be leaning forward. It'd be important for us to be on the edge of our seats, because this may be a moment. I think about the moments that led up to me coming to Jesus. I think about the moments that led up to me moving to Tulsa. I think about the moments that led to me to marry Sandy. I think about the moments that led to me to answer the call and say, God, we're going to build a church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. I think about those moments. What if this is one of those moments for you? Dear God, that it's a moment for me. Dear God, that Sandy has a moment today. Man, we need a moment, because every single day the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy in our life. He is relentless. He does not take a day off. But you know what Paul said? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor every single day. Man, it's not just an exercise that we do. No, I've got a breastplate of righteousness. My loins are girded with the truth. Man, I've got the gospel. The peace is what shods my feet. Man, I've got, most of all, I've got the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. I've got the sword of the Spirit. And let me tell you, that sword wasn't 4 or 5 feet long. That sword was 16 to 18 inches long. Think about that. It's hand-to-hand combat. The enemy gets that close. You know what? Man, you use the word. You use God's word every single time. And see, we've got to understand in this life that we live, that it's a battle, it's a fight. But listen, man, look how divided our country is. Man, I choose today to love Republicans. I choose today to love Democrats. I choose today to love progressives. I choose today to love independents. I choose today to love white folk. I choose today to love black people. I choose today to love Hispanics. I choose today to love Asians. And you know what? I'm not like everybody else. I see color. It just doesn't matter. See, we can't be, well, we don't see color. Let me just tell you, Sandy spent a week at the beach. Her skin's sun-kissed. I noticed it. I see it. It's really pretty. But see, we have to understand that we choose love. Why? That's a weapon God gives us. Love never fails. Man, we got up at the end of that rugby game, and Gibb looked at me and said, "Pastor, you want to pray?" Both teams are circled up in the middle of the field. Guys are bleeding. Guy had a couple broken ribs. He's standing there. All of them grabbed hands. Both teams. I began to pray for that boy that I had to repent about. He's probably 30, 32 years old. But I began to pray for everybody, but I'm telling you, in my heart, I'm praying for him. God, show yourself real and alive. God, let him know how much you love him. God, touch him today. God, forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us of our unrighteousness. God, we choose, and let me tell you, this is a lifestyle choice. That's, we choose the weapons that God gives us. And you know, that's why the Bible says love never fails. You go from where you're sitting to the edge of your seat to taking a stand. I want to take a stand. I'll tell you why. The Bible calls our seat the seat of the scornful. See, there's one place we're seated, and that's in heavenly places. But on this earth, we stand. And having done all, we stand. We get knocked down, we get back up. We stand. We stand. And how faithful God is, even though, let me tell you, I dip below the standard I know I should live my life. 20 minutes later, God redeemed the whole situation and gave me an opportunity to pray publicly with that man in that circle. Don't you love God? See, what happens is when we get at the edge of our seat, God's going to give us a moment. When we take a stand, God gives us opportunity. That's where opportunity is in our life, is when we're taking that stand. Man, next week I'm gonna talk about that. I'm gonna unpack our weapons. I'm gonna unpack the supernatural power that God's given us in our life. I just need you to be here. And I'll tell you why. If you're here, the preaching of God's word here can help you. That's all we want to do. Whatever you have need of. Man, we as a church wanna have covenant with everybody in here. Man, and if I could say, especially you guys with a past, I fit in good because I came into church in the miry clay, stuck in the mud, and God lifted me up, set my feet upon a rock, and put a new song in my heart. Man, we can't imagine how great a life God has for us. But you know what? I want to live that life. He's got more for you than you ever dreamt that you could ever have. You need healing today, you're in a great place because God's a healer. You need provision today, you're in a great place because God's a provider. If you're living under stress and turmoil, you're in a great place because God's our peace. Man, if you're out there and you're vulnerable, man, you're in a great place because God's our covering. He's our shield. If you're here and all there is bad news in your life, you're in a great place because the banner over us is love. I'm telling you, God wants to give you a moment today.